Hello, welcome to Locked On Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay. Aaron, on today's episode, we're going to talk about the Jacob Megna trade, talk about which players need a big second half of the season, and check in on some of my bold predictions and see how those are going from before the season started. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked On Sharks.
You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, J.D. Young, Fear of the Fin, and RIP. And San Jose Hockey Now, I want to thank you for making Locked On Sharks your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And of course, remember, we are your team every day. And today's episode, we're going to kind of dive deeper into the Jacob Megna trade. I gave a quick, 1 minute reaction to it when it happened Sunday night, but I want to dive deeper into it and kind of what it means for some of the other guys on the roster and why I thought it was a really, really good trade for Mike Greer. Then we're going to look at some of the players such as Tomas Hertl, who needs to have a big, big second half. Now that the All-Star break is done, we got less than a month until the trade deadline. I know the season's going to start winding down here, but some of these guys could set themselves up or kind of, make their season, you feel a lot better about their seasons if they have a big second half. And then finally, I'm going to check in on some of my preseason bold predictions to see how those are going. A couple I feel really strongly about, and one I think I'm going to be completely wrong on. But before we get into today's episode, I do want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you guys by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment matter more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. All right, so let's rewind to the Jacob Megna trade. Of course, Sunday night, he was traded for a fourth-round pick from the Seattle Kraken. I think it's going to be basically they get to pick whichever one that they want. They have multiple fourth-round picks, and they get to kind of pick which one. So it'll be whatever the worst is of those picks. So, I thought it was a good trade for a couple reasons. So fourth round pick, it'll either be the Kraken's or Colorado's fourth round pick. So whichever one is probably the worst, they get to decide. So it'll be the worst one of those. But I thought it was a good trade for Mike Greer and the Sharks. Jacob Megna, is a 30-year-old defenseman who's basically been a career AHL player until this season. I mean, he played half the season with the Sharks last year and, was kind of hit or miss last year, and he definitely has some problems. And, credit to him, he won an NHL job, and he played top line, defensive minutes with Erik Karlsson. And, a lot of people point to his play was a reason for, not the reason, but it helped for Erik Karlsson to kind of have the season Erik Karlsson's having. But again, this is selling high on a player, selling at his maximum value. Do we expect Jacob Megna to continue to play at this rate or get better? Maybe. Most likely not, right? You got an asset for a player that you didn't draft. You basically signed a couple years ago off the street, and you turned him into an asset, a fourth round pick. And I've already heard they should have got more. Like Matt Nieto got a fifth round, Andrew Cogliano last year got a fifth round pick. We were talking about Matt Nieto getting a fifth round pick, getting a fourth round pick from Jacob Megna. You take that every day. Again, Jacob Megna seems like a great guy. Awesome in the locker room. We know the Karlssons and the Megnas were really close, and that part of the business sucks. Seeing guys like that leave the organization. But again, this is 2 years in a row now where you've taken guy assets that you kind of drafted and developed, and you've gotten things back from them, right? Going into last year, Jake Middleton, right? Jake Middleton could have, you know, 2 years ago, for most people, Jake Middleton could have walked into your living room and you wouldn't know who Jake Middleton was. You got an asset for him. Is Kapokakinen turned out the way you wanted to? No, but you took a swing on a goalie. And, you know, for a team that does not have a star goaltender in the pipeline, taking swings on goalies is fine. And again, you turned him into an asset. What the Sharks do with this fourth round pick, we'll see. If they trade it, they use, you know, trade it for an NHL player. They pick somebody, they use it in the draft to move up, to go get somebody. Whatever, you that's just one more thing that you have now to be able to go do something else with. And, you know, it kind of, as weird as it sounds, the Sharks are going to have a bit of a logjam in the defense corps here to at the second half of the season, right? Eric Karlsson, assuming he's not traded. I don't think Eric Karlsson's getting traded. I've said this a million times. There's too many hurdles for Eric Karlsson to be traded in this season. But Eric Karlsson's not going anywhere. Vlasic's not going anywhere. Mario Ferraro's not going anywhere, okay? Matt Benning's not going anywhere, especially with that four-year deal. If a team came asking for Matt Benning, I think the Sharks would think long and hard about it. But again, I just assume Matt Benning, Mike Greer made it a priority to go out and sign Matt Benning on the first day of free agency. I don't think Matt Benning's going in. And he's played really, really well this year, especially for the what you're paying him. You're not paying him a lot, so... Okay. Knyazhov is progressing. You know, he's playing in the Barracuda right now. You know, got officially assigned to the Barracuda. I think once he continues, you know, he's not playing on the second half of back-to-backs. So they're kind of easing him back into it, which is what you want. You know, you don't want to rush him. Once he gets more comfortable, I assume he will be back. And hey, guess what? Eric Karlsson and Knyazhov played really, really well together. So you have a younger guy that you've also kind of developed a lot of time waiting for him to get back from an injury. All right, he's going to be coming back. You want to play Nick Cicek some more. Another guy that you've been developing, you know, you got for free that you've been developing. Want to give him some more run, especially what's turning out to be a lost season. You hope Radim Šimek is back from his injuries or concussions soon. So going to be a little bit of a logjam here. And again, I know Middleton's been playing well for the Sharks. You know, he's done a good job in the role that he's asked, but again, you turn nothing into something. So I think it's a great trade for the Sharks. Again, getting a fourth round pick for, you know, Jacob Megna, who again is basically until this year has been a career AHL player. I think that's a great trade for the Sharks. And again, that's just more ammo for you to do something else with later. If you want to use it to draft, if you want to use that pick to trade up, maybe there's a guy falling in the second or third round that you really, really like. You don't have a third round pick. You can use that, or you have a late third round pick. Maybe you package that third round pick and that fourth round pick. You can move up to the top of the third round to go get somebody who's maybe falling a little bit, or you never know, right? So good. I think it's a good idea. I liked it. I wouldn't be surprised if we continue to see these transactions happening. You know, Nick Bonino's, your James Reimers. Again, if somebody asks for Nico Sturm, like nobody should really be off the table right now if the way things are progressing. And I think the way things are going, I'm leaning more and more into the Timo Meier is going to get traded before the trade deadline. Just my gut feeling right now. Might change here tomorrow, who knows, but as of right now, I think Timo Meier gets traded. So before we look at which players need to have a big second half, do want to let you know about our friends over at FanDuel. If you guys don't know, this weekend is the Super Bowl, one of the best weekends and also the saddest. I always get really sad on Super Bowl because it's just like the end of the NFL season, but you want to, you know, put down some money on the Super Bowl, having a Super Bowl party. FanDuel is the only thing you need. They're America's number one sports book. We're excited about our new sports betting partner for Lockdown because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. You know, if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. If you're a Chiefs fan, Travis Kelce touchdown feels right. If you think the Chiefs are going to win, I assume Travis Kelce is going to score a touchdown. So FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe and secure and super easy to use. Best of all, you get your paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no sweat first bet for Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, so players who I think need to have a big second half, and I think we have to start with Tomas Hertl, who's been very quiet, especially I'd say since about this last kind of month, especially since his suspension. He came back, he had a pretty big game after his suspension, but he's been very quiet since then. And I think it would be very nice for Tomas Hertl. No, it's important for Tomas Hertl to kind of have a strong second half, right? And Timo Meier and Erik Karlsson have been the story of the Sharks, right? Both those guys have been available for trades, some more than others. But the one guy who's Mike Greer went out of his way to say is not available, and that's Tomas Hertl. And Hertl's, he's having himself a pretty solid season, right? He has 43 points in 49 games, so he's just below that point per game mark. You know, he's got 14 goals, 29 assists. The goal is probably not where maybe you kind of be a little bit closer to 20 now. Assisting a lot on those Timo Meier goals. Some, you know, he's been doing his job there. But been a little quiet recently. I kind of want to look more, you know, mainly since that Christmas time, right? And I think him having a kind of big second half to kind of put some, you know, kind of rest. There's like, we just gave him this big contract and now he's, you know, not the guy that we signed. And again, I don't think Hurdle's ever going to be like a 90 point player, but you know, he should be flirting around with a point per game pace, you know, for the next couple of years. I know the Sharks are bad, et cetera, et cetera. We know that, but Tomas Hertl's still really good. And again, it's just a little worrisome with how he has played the last couple games. And I know points aren't everything, et cetera, et cetera. We know, but that's he is paid second most on the team to score points, right? So you would like to see him continue to score more points. So since the new year, Tomas Hertl sets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So since January 1st, Tomas Hertl has one goal. Like, I know streaky, scoring a streaky, et cetera, et cetera. He had two goals literally the last, the day before type of situations. But still, kind of end of the year, he had two goals. But Hertl, you know, he hasn't scored a goal since January 11th. I know they've had time off here, but we're almost getting to a full calendar month here without Tomas Hertl scoring a goal. He's had, you know, a couple assists during that time as well. The assist numbers are pretty solid. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 assists in those games. So, but still, you would like to see Tomas. I think Tomas Hertl needs to shoot the puck a little bit more. I know Timo Meier dominates. When you play on a line with Timo Meier, he's going to dominate that. But I think Hertl needs to be a little bit more selfish sometimes and shoot the puck some more. And I think he could benefit from having a very strong second half of the season. Kind of that way, going into next year, you don't have any questions about your 1C. We know Hertl is going to be the 1C for the next few years. You know, just feel better about kind of where Tomas Hertl is at. I'm not worried. I'm just, again, would like to see a little bit more goal production. If, you know, if he's at 14 right now and he kind of ends the season, you know, we got about 30 games left. If he's around the 25, getting close, maybe it's closing towards 30, you're going to feel a lot better about it. than if he's maybe pushing 20 goals. And again, I know goals aren't everything, but if Timo Meier is going to be leaving here soon, somebody's going to have to pick up the scoring pace, and Tomas Hertl is going to be, has to be that guy. So another guy who has a big, big opportunity to kind of give himself a job going into next year, and that's Noah Gregor, right? Noah Gregor Gobert. We know Noah Gregor Gobert. Noah Gregor, for some reason, I don't know what it is, the shooting yips or something. I thought he was going to have a much bigger season this year. I thought last year was an anomaly with the shooting stats, right? There's no way Noah Gregor could shoot 6%, you know, less than 6% for a season. And right, but that's not way, no way he could do that again. Yeah, he's doing it again. So he's 5.1% last year, 6% this year so far this season. But with guys like Matt Nieto gone, you assume Nick Bonino is probably going to be gone. If whoever else of these wingers gets kind of traded or whatever, this is a big opportunity for Matt Nieto, or for Noah Gregor, to kind of take that Matt Nieto role, right, of being a guy who's going to be good in his own end. He's going to provide you speed and score occasionally. And I think Noah Gregor could, you know, kind of earn himself another contract going into next offseason. I think him having a big second half, he is an RFA. So if the Sharks own his rights, et cetera, et cetera. But again, if Noah Gregor's not filling a role, are you just going to sign him to just have him around because you've kind of waited this long and waiting for him to eventually kind of pop? Or are you going to move on because you've got a bunch of guys in the AHL who are going to be starting to take his, you know, job soon? Or you can just go find another guy who does the job better than him at probably the same price. So again, I don't expect Noah Gregor to break the bank next year, but like, you know, if you can find a vetman forward to basically do the same job Noah Gregor is doing, and you know exactly what you're getting, and maybe it provides a little bit more scoring pop. So Noah Gregor, I think I want to see if he can earn a job, a steady job on the PK, right? Be one of those reliable penalty killers, you know, kind of carve out his role in the third line. I thought last year, you know, at the end of the season, I know a small 8-game sample size with Bordeleau, et cetera, but carve out your role on a third line and score. Like, dude, you got to hit the net at some point. So big opportunity for Noah Gregor would behoove himself to have a really, really strong second half of the year. Just because, again, you are going to be probably fighting for your job this summer. So, and then, yeah, I think another guy who needs a big, big second half, and that's Kaapo Kähkönen, right? The Sharks traded for him. They traded Jake Middleton for last offseason for him, or not last, or last trade deadline. Signed him to a 2-year deal. I know it's not the most amount of money, but, you know, you vested him for the next 2 years. And he's been a disappointment to start this season. And I think everybody knows that. He knows that he has not played up to his standards. Not the guy that we saw at the end of last year. And again, him having a really strong second half, especially when things are going to be falling apart in front of him in the terms of players who are, you know, your NHL caliber players are going to be starting getting pulled out, right? You're going to start seeing more young players and you're going to see more rookie mistakes. So it'd be nice for Kaapo Kähkönen to kind of bail these guys out here once in a while. So, you know, I've harped on Kaapo Kähkönen plenty of times. I mean, but again, Kaapo Kähkönen has a second half, nice, strong second half to his season. We know the Sharks are going to be in the market, most likely be in the market for a goaltender this offseason. And if James Reimer gets traded, again, James Reimer is not your, he's not your savior. He's not the answer for you at goaltending. Kaapo Kähkönen is still young enough where you can kind of pencil him in for the next couple of years of being the guy and, you know, hopefully make it harder for the Sharks to, harder in the sense of like, yeah, we don't want to move on from this guy because we think that there's something there. And again, the Sharks are going to be in the market for a goaltender this offseason. James Reimer is a UFA. If you want to bring James Reimer back, cool. If you trade James Reimer, cool. Like, whatever. Whatever you do, James Reimer, you're going to have to either bring somebody in. You're going to bring another veteran type of guy in to play with Kaapo Kähkönen. Just because, again, Kaapo Kähkönen is not going to be starting like 65 games for you. You need a competent, you know, kind of 1A, 1B type of situation. But I think it'd be good for Kaapo Kähkönen to have a very, very good second half. So that way you're not, that's not two things you have to worry about, right? You just have to worry about one thing. So before we get into my preseason bold predictions, see how they are doing, which ones I'm feeling really good about, which ones I'm a little worried, which ones I think I got really wrong. Do want to talk to you guys about our friends over at Athletic Greens. Right now, you know, of course, new year, new me. Maybe you just want to take care of your health a little bit better. You need some more energy. Optimize your immune system. You don't want to take a bunch of pills and vitamins because it's just annoying to take a bunch of pills and vitamins. That's where Athletic Greens comes in with their one scoop of their AG1. You're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods or superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. Whole food source superfoods. Say that three times fast. It's really hard. But help you get your day started right. Drink it before you even have your morning coffee and you are good to go. Great thing about it, it's the price. It's less than $3 a day. That's cheaper than going and getting a coffee every morning. If you're like me, I'm really bad at it and I have to go get a coffee every morning. And you're investing in your all-in-one nutritional insurance. And it's cheaper than going to the store and buying all the pills separately. So they also have 7,000 five-star reviews and recommended by professional athletes. You know, I know Matt Nieto had it, and look at him. He's going to go play for a cup this year. Good for him. But to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Again, it's athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Okay, so rounding this out. Some bold predictions I made. We'll start with the one I feel the most confident about. The Sharks are going to be one of the five worst teams in the NHL. They are fifth. And the standings, and actually, I mean, like, they have the least amount of wins. It's all those loser points that they keep getting. But I feel really good about that. I think the Ducks might make a little run here. The Coyotes are always kind of frisky. Like, the Sharks have peace. And if the Sharks trade Timo Meier, this team is going to be bad. So I feel really, really good about my prediction about the Sharks being one of the five worst teams in the NHL. We'll go check right now for that. So ding. 90-point Timo Meier. It's going to be close. it's going to be close. He's under a point per game right now at this part of the season. Not on pace, but remember, Timo Meier didn't score his first goal until like the 10th game of the season, and he had one assist in those first nine games. So what he's done to make up the ground, it like puts him on place to be that guy. So, you know, he's at 28 goals and 20 assists. So the goals have been, you know, I kind of laid out a case of like, you know, Timo Meier can be kind of the trigger man on the power play. You know, if the shooting percentage can go up a little bit, continue to take more shots. He's been doing all those things. I thought the assist numbers would be a little bit better. And that's what's kind of killing me right now. But he's at 48 points in 51 games. So he's close. Close. So I'm still feeling pretty solid about it just because of the way he's playing right now. You know, if he can continue at the pace he's playing, you know, kind of being that point per game, that guy that we have seen basically since November 1st, if he can continue to play that way, I think Timo Meier is going to be really, really close. And you're going to look back at those first nine games and be like, man, if he had just gotten a couple more points here, we would have 90-point Timo Meier. But it's going to be really, really close. So feeling. I feel confident, though. I feel pretty confident. All right. Next one. The Barracuda will have more points than San Jose Sharks at the end of the season. I was very, very bullish about the Barracuda. Right now they have less points. The Sharks have 41 points, if I remember. It's been a while since I looked at the standings. This time off has been really nice. But the Barracuda have 39 points, and the Sharks are at 41 points. It's going to be close. But again, I think the Barracuda are going to already go on a run here. You've seen them playing better. They have a bunch of games against the San Diego Gulls, who are like really, really bad. I think they're going to start to kind of go on a run here. And I think the Sharks are going to get progressively worse. So I still feel good about that. Remember, the Barracuda played 10 less games than the Sharks. So the Sharks, yes. So while the points are really close right now, the points per game are in favor of the Barracuda. And again, I think the Barracuda are going to get better. If depends how long, Knyazhov stays down there, if they get Hadika back, maybe the Sharks send some guys down, as a trade deadline, whatever, who cares. I think the Barracuda are going to get better. I think they have good goaltending. I think they have good forwards. You see William Eklund right now is basically, I think he's on a 7-game point streak. He has found his groove down there. And I think they're going to really go on a roll here, go on a tear here. And I think the Sharks are going to get worse. So we'll see. But I feel really good about that one. Joe Thornton is going to play for the Sharks this year. And I even put it that he was going to be suited up when Patrick Marleau has his jersey retired, and I'm feeling not very good about that one. I know he's been around. He's been practicing, He's been skating at least. He's been hanging around the facilities and stuff. I would be shocked. I'd be awesome. But I don't think that one's going to happen. So that was more of me just kind of wish casting, because I just want to watch Joe Thornton play. I just want to see Joe Thornton on the ice as Patrick Marleau gets his jersey retired, type of thing. So not feeling good about that one. But, yeah, so, I mean, bold predictions. I feel like I kind of had a good feel on where the Sharks team was this season. So feeling pretty good about most of them. Joe Thornton, though, you never know. He might surprise us. Wouldn't that be fun? So that's going to be it. I'll be back tomorrow as the Sharks are back. They played the Lightning, so we'll recap that game. Kind of get back in the groove of things. If you haven't checked out my draft profile of Will Smith with Chris Peters, you can go check that out. If you want to go see why Devils fans are very mad at Kyle and I, go check out Friday's episode, because we dared to say that the Sharks should ask for Luke Hughes in a trade. They're not going to get Luke Hughes, but if you don't ask for him, you never know, type of thing. But yeah, so Devils fans, salute to you guys. You guys love your team. So till tomorrow. So make sure, I'll be back tomorrow. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at MyFryHole. You can follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at LockedOnSharks. You can listen wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music. You can watch on YouTube. And until tomorrow, bye, friends.